Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Joe Box.
That's him?
Oh.
Is that all you guys say, Joe? Is that it? Is that where you're stopping the intro?
I'm you.
Oh.
Joe, what's your opinion on the Jews?
Hey. Let's reel it back.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, I think we're off to a rip-roaring start.
Please just shut it down.
With our host, Joe.
I'm doing a shitty job, or I've changed my name so not my actual name gets dragged through the dirt in the comments for shitty hosts. They'll just blame you, Joe.
Nice. That's how it works. All you gotta do is change your name and then everybody will just drag me instead, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. This week, I don't know if it's going to come through in the final patch, probably a time or two, but last session, we recorded, my niece was here, visiting. We were watching her for a few days, and there's a few times I got most of it out in the editing where she came in and needed something, you know, she's seven. But you know, it's a lot different having a kid around and whatnot. And one of the things that Dace was talking about is, because he heard the original cut when she came in, is like, I was telling her that, okay, I'm in a meeting right now. You know, I'm doing something. Because I realized very quickly how impossible it would be to actually explain to the seven-year-old that I was online with two adults playing a make-believe game that included books and rules and
cosmic horror
and cosmic horror,
let alone and the government explanation of cosmic horror.
And you know, and so we started talking about it, like, and I don't know if this is something we've talked about before on the podcast, like how hard it is to explain tabletop RPGs to the completely uninitiated.
Totally.
I think it would actually
came up. Go ahead, Brad.
I think it would be easier to explain it to a seven-year-old than your father-in-law or something like that.
I agree with that, because I had just, not my father-in-law, I was on a date slash hang last weekend, not with my father-in-law. Once again, I'll say not with my father-in-law.
It's the lady doth protest too much, methinks.
Definitely not with my father-in-law. We got onto the subject of podcasts you listen to, and of course I listen to a lot of live play TTRPGs, and she's like, wait, what did you say? I was like, sorry, live play tabletop role-playing games? And she's like, blank stare, what is that? I was like, oh, okay, we're having this conversation.
Was that your first date, by chance?
Oh, no, okay. We're good friends.
Okay. I was about to say... Don't. Why did you bring that up?
Don't do that to yourself.
Lie on a first date. Everybody say cool things on a first date.
The last time this did come up on a first date, I was like, yeah, well, fuck you. I played D&D and all that. I've got no shame. This is, I'm not trying to hide who I am. That's beside the point. So she had the slightest knowledge of D&D. Like, she had heard the name of it, but I had no idea, like, what it entails, like, role-playing. She just kept asking, like, what do you do? Like, and it just explaining that from the bottom up was almost impossible. Or either, maybe I was just really bad at it. But so I stumbled through, like, a really basic explanation of D&D the best I could. And then we got on to Delta Green. And that was playing on expert mode. That was, like, playing on... What's that difficulty in Fallout?
a survival difficulty?
That's survival mode.
You're like drinking Nuka-Colas and trying to find a place to sleep.
Yes. And then, the first thing that comes out is, it's a game about, it's kind of like D&D, but it's like cosmic horror. And she's like, cosmic horror? I'm like, yeah, you know, stuff like H.P. Lovecraft, that's a good cultural touchstone. She's like, H.P. Lovecraft?
Okay. So,
dude, it's much easier if you hide who you are to your friends and family.
Trust Scott's me. So much easier. I think we can all agree with that. I think we can all agree. Hide who you are. Don't let them in.
I just say it's a dice game like Bonko. And that covers it.
Bonko? No,
like Yahtzee.
Yeah. Yahtzee. And that's all you have to say.
Bonko.
I honestly don't know how to play it. I just know dice is involved.
So do you roleplay in Bonko?
I don't know. Maybe.
Does it have themes, but it seems like cosmic horror or adventure?
Maybe. It gets the point across whenever I say it, and they're like, you know, okay, next topic. Everything's good.
But that's almost as weird, because then people could potentially think you're really into something as mundane as Yahtzee. Like, what if you're just so fucking passionate about Yahtzee? That's weirder, right, in a way?
Well, no, I'd prefer that.
Well,
because games have, like, different levels of, like, social acceptance. Like, if you told someone, like, I'm a chess grandmaster, like... You know, like, that would be like
in the KKK.
It always goes to racial extremes with you every time. No, like, if you told someone that you were like in the chess, that you were grandmaster or that you were master, you know, if you, I don't know the name for all the different levels. You know, if you told someone that, like, and if you, but I guess again, it's like the, you know, telling someone like, well, what makes a grandmaster? Like, oh, you have to win so many games against other grandmasters. Like, that's pretty easy, right? Like, that's pretty, the shorthand for that's pretty simple. And then people are like, oh, chess, that must mean you're smart, you know? Like, I think a lot of people kind of assume that, like, you know, oh, that's kind of like a I don't know, it's just like, but when you're like, okay, yeah, we sit down, you know what, I think the piece that makes like D&D and Deltagrine or TTRPGs hard to explain is the imagination part. Like, so you're pretending to be like knights and wizards. Yes, that's what we're doing, you know. And I don't know, I guess it's,
let's do something else.
Yeah, should we just play Yahtzee? Should we start a Yahtzee stream?
Let's do a Yahtzee stream, guys. Something way better. How about some bingo? How about that?
Yes. Yeah. Vote, audience, if you'd rather hear us play bingo or Yahtzee.
You just let us know in the Reddit. Hit us up on Twitter, like, you know, hey, we really want you to hit up Yahtzee instead. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know, but I think Deltagrine is especially hard, you know, because, you know, you could say to someone for D&D, you'd be like, oh yeah, you know, it's like Lord of the Rings, you know, there's elves and swords and magic. Like, you know, that's pretty easy, like, to be, give kind of someone like a basic fantasy underpinning. But when you say cosmic horror, again, if you are not, like, if you don't know, you don't know. Like, it's...
Yeah, I quickly realized how the ship was sinking, and I was not able to bail enough water out to keep that conversation afloat.
Like, yeah,
if you don't have...
You guys, super, just say aliens.
Okay, oh, that's probably, you know, exactly what I should have said.
You know what? If I ever re-enter the dating pool, you know, I'm going straight to Brad. Like, Brad, yeah. Brad knows how to get this done.
You just say...
Conceal your true self, say you play Yahtzee,
yep. Yes,
and just call
it. Say it's a dice game, and there's, like, aliens. End of story. That's all you have to say.
You have been in a consistent relationship longer than all of us.
Right.
Yeah, and she still thinks I'm playing D&D.
she's like, oh, you left your Yahtzee cup out here. Like, she, like, yeah. brings it in while you record. Here you go, sweetie. Love you, moi. Like,
I hope you win today.
I say I'm playing Stranger Things.
There you go.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, a lot of people know that one.
I'm playing Lord of the Rings today. I'm playing Star Wars.
That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of hiding your true self from friends and family. Yeah.
Let's get back to Deltagrine.
Okay. Some characters in this campaign might be doing that, or maybe not.
Not Axel.
Are they Alice? Are they Axel? We don't know, because we just met the characters, except for Axel. who may be a different character, because we established this is a different timeline for Axel. Yeah. Could be completely different. Axel.
The Axelverse.
Ooh. The Axelverse. Yes.
Oh, that would be... That's like this version of the Spideyverse.
It's whatever incarnation Axel is.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly... Right. Axel's the Spider-Man of our...
You know how in our Delta Green, or no, sorry, in our D&D worlds, Rolf has many different incarnations throughout different stories. Yeah. Axel is my Rolf for DG.
All right, hear me out. Next one shot or module we run, every PC is Axel, different versions of Axel.
It worked for Spider-Verse. Ooh. It worked for Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it could work
for Spider-Verse. Ooh.
Ooh.
There's the meme where they're standing there all pointing at each other.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
One's just macho Randy Savage.
Yeah, he's just straight up. Him.
I would be the Pokemon version of Axel.
You're like the Skyrim mod, but it's Axel on a dragon's head face or whatever.
Nice.
Right. Anyway, I will do a recap. And be sure to let me know if there's anything I left out or anything you think is more important than something else so I can harbor on that and lead you astray even more.
Nice. Nice. Classic.
So we met Axel and Alice Aguilar.
Aguilar?
Close enough.
Aguilar. Aguilar. They were requested by Delta Green through the normal protocol to report to the town of Meadow Brook, New Jersey. It's September 15th, 2017. They meet in a trailer kind of behind the county, courthouse area. And they're meted by a person that says his name is Mr. Summers. Basically gives them the breakdown that there was a recent agent in the area who's actual local, I think he said, Agent Donnelly, who went missing 2 weeks ago. His wife called the FBI office where he worked and said that he hadn't come in, or he hadn't been in contact with her for a while. They kind of ask around for him. They can't find him in his apartment. But they trace his cell phone data and see that he's been visiting this house 1206 Spooner Ave. They go there and they find him dead. Not just dead, but his
mega dead
blood ever. Yeah, mega dead. Essentially, is how they say it.
Technical term.
In FBI terms and medical terms, blood everywhere. Slit, cut his throat. No weapon or evidence of how he did that. Coroner comes up, rules it a suicide. Blood everywhere. Mr. Summers basically says it looked like a bomb of blood went off in the room. So just grotesque scene. Nobody wants to deal with this, according to Mr. Summers. Locals don't want to talk about this house. They've heard enough, stuff like this y'all have kind of uncovered has been happening for a long time. FBI definitely don't want this on their record of one of their agents having, dying in this way. It's just not a good look. So FBI is happy to say, unfortunate event, but he was troubled, blah, blah, blah. The coroner ruled it a suicide, good enough for local police. But Mr. Summers wasn't truly, it's a little bit more of a personal touch for him. Even more so than what normal DG protocol would be, but seemed to gleam that I think it was Alice that he knew Agent Donnelly, and he says you're operating outside of any cell, which is very odd for DG, and he wants you to look into it, and not, you know, if you can, just report back to him. You know, he's on your side. He wants this to be uncovered. He said your main mission is to find out who did this, whether it be supernatural, maybe it's not, but it's kind of like Mr. Starnes wants revenge or some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Some kind of like resolution to the situation.
He wants closure.
Closure, more so than anything. He says, be on your way. He leaves you with a final word that, you know, this isn't totally out of the blue. Donnelly has sent word up that he was concerned about the house to DG, and that it might have the capacity to control people. He's on his way. Y'all kind of have a nice lunch after that, a light talk, and
coleslaw.
Go say again.
Coleslaw.
Close. If coleslaw. You call
it just coleslaw.
Yeah, for Axel, nice just lunch. Coleslaw, which I made it's a note of. Coleslaw. That is
hard
very
to eat
important
red meat
the
after the gallbladder's gone. You know, not impossible, just complicated.
But you're left with some clues. Two friendlies. A friendly that is a let me look at my notes. And a friendly that goes by the name of Elizabeth Tucker, seems to be an antique dealer, and a friendly by the name of Mel Yarrow, who seems to be a parapsychologist at a neighboring town's community college. Also, you were left with, I think it was, revealed through basically the, data from his cell phone that he'd been visiting a storage unit, which y'all decided to go see. You know, it was kind of out on the outskirts of town. You meet the guy that runs the storage facility. His name is, let me go to the murder board.
Brian Migla.
Brian Migla. Sorry, I have a different. And, you know, you basically kind of have to bribe him. And you do. And you pay what he wants for the storage unit. You basically see that Donnelly went by a name with the last name Green, which obviously this was some sort of green box. You go there and you find a whole host of shit, basically.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we got like antique tables, sofa beds, plastic wrapped twin mattresses, average stuff. You find shotgun with a shit ton of ammo, 400 rounds, 12 gauge shotgun.
That's a lot of ammo.
Some lies, a new shovel, you know, stuff like that that doesn't seem odd at all. Probably the most important thing, though, is some photos that you can't really derive much from. They're very blurred.
Mm-hmm.
But you do see a coffin in there. Y'all open the coffin, and you can see on like kind of like a little plaque on the inside, it says Anton Tier, 1957-1966, which I think... agent who made the connection that was on the list of deaths that you kind of got, that there was a family named Ture back in 1963 to 1966.
Right.
Could be related. And it's a child. And I think, you know, it's been there for so long, it was basically like no smell, it's just like dirt and bone remains. But I believe Alice kind of like investigates it further and has just kind of like a vision of this bloated boy's face, like he like underwater.
Yeah.
And kind of like snaps away. Also finds Scrabble's notes, which you basically see what there's no like real translation in the manual. It's like Ture equals not dead, rowing the house, Lonely actually, at night, grave, the, shovel, gloves.
On the Go murder ahead. Board down at the bottom, I typed it all out, so it's easier.
Yeah, Wheeler, furniture, books, estate, Canadian mental health laws.
Question mark. Yeah. So that's where we are. We're in the storage unit. Like, we're standing right here still.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to show, as we get going, I just want to show the murder board. So thanks to our lovely Jean, who cannot be here, still negotiating with the cartels on that. We'll keep you posted. Thanks to our lovely Jean, who introduced us to this site that really makes making murder boards and stuff like this really easy. This is kind of what we're going with here. I got a little bit deep yesterday and did this board.
I'll say.
Looks really great.
Yeah.
It does. It's very detailed.
But like over here, so like we've got all the in the blue, we've got all of our people. In yellow, we've got places. And the big thing I've got, I wanted to point out, and I wanted to start here, kind of out of character with me and Dace. Over here on the right side, these red post-it notes. Like anywhere you see these red post-it notes, these are questions. Questions are unknowns. But over here on the right side, all of these post-it notes are questions, and they have lines that take them to where they have. And so first, the one first here. So I've just called 1206 Spooner. I've just called it the bad house. I think we can agree that the house is bad and that it's a bad house.
Bad.
It seems bad. The first one I've got here is no knives in the suicides. Did the throats cut or they explode from the inside? Because remember the whole, like kind of was mentioned, the whole explosion of blood? Like,
yes. A bomb of blood.
Yeah, that would, I think, I don't know, that's just, maybe that's nothing. It's just a question I have. The Turer body was mummified, but the throat not cut, as far as we could tell. My question was it drained of fluids? Does that have something to do with it?
Well, let me make that clear.
I bet.
I meant mummified in the sense of, like, it's just super old.
Okay.
It's just an old body. It wasn't, like, an actual mummy.
Okay, it's so just, then maybe like, that one's not.
I mean, it's, you know, it's been a dead person for a long time, so whatever those remains look like, just old bones.
Okay, well, I'm going to nix that one then, because then that was just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Okay. Something I want to know about, the fake names on the, and this is actually, these two actually go together, which is about this big one here. There's evidence for a second person. I think we kind of talked about last time. There's a lot of twos of everything. You know, you don't need two shotguns. You don't need two shovels if you're going to be digging something up. There's two mattresses. It seems like maybe someone was going to be sleeping or planning to sleep or stay either here in the storage unit or somewhere else. There's evidence for someone else working with Arthur Dunnelly.
Yeah.
And remember, there's the sign-in sheet where people are signing in with the name Felix Green. I'm wondering if we go back to the sign-in sheet, if A, we can see when it was last accessed, but B, we can see if the names are this written by the same handwriting to see if we can verify. And then also, Arthur Dunnelly's been dead for 2 weeks, but he somehow owed $1,200 on this storage unit. That seems like too much. I'm wondering how long it's been since he's been paying his bills. And if that could actually give us some type of insight into his state of mind.
Like, when did he start going off the deep end?
Right. Yeah. Arthur... I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's all on you. I desperately don't want to talk to Brian Miglia again, ever.
Also, Arthur had IDs for both the coroner and the gas inspector. And keep in mind, some of these deaths were called suicides or accidents, and they're kind of obviously not. And at least one of them was gas leak. So I'm wondering if Arthur might actually be involved with a cover-up, or was he investigating? So that's an interesting question.
My first thought was investigating, but it didn't occur to me that it might be a cover up.
Yeah. I think we need to find out where the hell Anton Tur's how are we saying that?
Tur.
We need to figure out where the hell Anton Tur's body came from.
I was thinking maybe we could just ask somebody where the local graveyards are.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty small town. They probably know, like, where the Tur's would be buried.
Right. The biohazard containers, we need to ask Brad what's in these containers. And we need to specifically state that we open the containers and look in them, and that we, like, open the couch bed and stuff like that. That's just something we need to check on real quick that we didn't really do. It might be nothing.
Yeah, we need to tear this place apart.
People are attracted or obsessed to the house. Is it just anyone? And even Arthur Dunley talks about it, that he found himself, and even in the way of him investigating the house, is a kind of obsession. So is it anyone who comes in contact with the house, or does the house choose people, right? Like, so what's the deal there? And the last two things, in his note, he mentions survivors. So we need to look into people who have owned this house who are not dead.
Totally. We should start there.
But the last thing here is the biggest. Arthur Dunley mentions in his note, burn it, Crease tried, didn't work. Crease. Who is Crease? Is that a code name?
Where does it say that on the end?
On the note that Arthur Dunley, like on the kind of second line here, it says, burn it, ? Crease tried it, didn't work. Like Crease, like you put a crease in a piece of paper.
Is that his partner's code name?
I don't know. It's obviously not him. Unless he's talking about himself in the third person. So we have some leads here. And then something... And lastly... And again, I got way deep off into this. Maybe more than I needed to. There's this antique table in here. And this is something that I got asked about a little bit. But... You know, he did talk about the Wheeler furniture. So there's this antique table in here. I'm wondering if that's related to this furniture that he was looking for. And specifically, I think this antique dealer will be obviously the source of information on antique furniture and where this came from. Or maybe it's not the Wheeler furniture, but it's important, or he was trying to get the Wheeler furniture. But that's obviously important. It was important to Arthur Donnelly.
Do mummified bodies count as antiques? As furniture? Can we take the body to the antique?
You know, it was just a nice...
They're old.
It just brought the room together.
Matches the drapes.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of where I was thinking this week when I was looking at this stuff. Where's your head at?
All of that makes sense to me. I think we should tackle the table and the antique dealer since... We're metagamey, definitely supposed to get in contact with the friendly anyway, but I really like your idea about tracking down survivors.
Yeah.
Know what we're getting ourselves into.
Well, you know, and something that was mentioned before was that, you know, we can go to the, you know, the county office, you know, and kind of look up, or even the newspaper, the internet, you know, and start looking up this list of people. One of the things I did is I started on a little vague timeline here of kind of the most important ones. So the first death we had was back in 1956. That was when the Wheeler family, they had one death. That one is the only one listed as natural cause. So I'm wondering if that's where this all started. And then we know, and there are lots of names on here. Wait a second. George and Margaret Crease are the second list.
Shit, son.
Oh, they're second on the list. It was a murder-suicide.
Yeah. Let's look up that case in particular.
That case in particular, okay. Yeah. Shit, I didn't even realize that.
Good catch.
Yeah, I'm going to add that right now.
Yep. A lot going on, but that does seem to be the same name.
Frightened, Brad? Are you scope too big? You squirming in your game master chair?
I mean, I was trying to make Joe feel better about his murder board that he overlooked it. No, I was like, good job. Yes, that's correct. I'm just restating. Yes, that is the same name that's written on this piece of paper because it's scrabbly and it's hard to see. So, good job.
I did it.
You put in the work this week.
I did.
Like we never do in Impossible Landscapes. I respect that.
This is what I want from you guys in Impossible Landscapes, but no.
Am I scared? Is Alice scared? Is Axel scared? Where
scared
are we at right now?
We're going to crack open your fragile game.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Crease.
I mean, all this big talk from someone who hasn't even gone to the house. I mean, what are you doing?
We're still going around the second room. We're in the second room of the entire operation still.
I want to go there. Let's just go
straight there, man. What's there? I mean,
I'm all for it, man.
All right. So that was outside of character.
Yeah. So that's
Let's restate. What are they thinking next? Hmm. It sounded like you wanted to just do another search of all these.
I specifically wanted to say as Axel that Axel is going to look through specifically the biohazard bins. He's going to open up this sofa bed. He's gonna
cut open the mattress even.
Well, the mattresses are wrapped in plastic. They're new. But hell, why not? Like, he's gonna take a blade, drag down the side, make sure they're not full of cash. You know?
Right. Go for it.
Yeah. So do you want more roll for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're rolling for all that? Checking biohazard. Ripping open the mattress, ripping open the sofa.
If we need to roll for all of those things,
roll a general one for all that. Roll a specific one for. I mean, what do you? You could just roll that if you're just looking through it. Yeah, roll search.
Yeah,
if you're doing something more specific, you know, like how old is this stuff? Has it been used? That might be something.
I think he's definitely. I don't know. Like, I don't really. Axel has a 10 in history. He can attempt to figure out how old, for instance, the table is. Like this antique table. First, I'm going to roll a search just to get another really good look at the house. Or not the house. At the. Shit. At the table specifically.
Yeah.
The table, the biohazard containers, and all that whatnot. So I'm going to roll that. No modifier.
Search success. You
3550, yeah.
You know.
Open up the mattress.
Biohazard containers are brand spanking new. Haven't been used.
Okay.
Plastic wrap mattresses. You yank it open. You tear open the cushion. Don't find anything inside of those. Nothing to do with the mattresses. They're just wrapped in plastic. They don't seem to be.
Open the couch bed. Make sure nothing's stuffed in there. Yeah.
Nothing in there. You look in the table's drawers. You know, it's old, but there doesn't seem to be anything inside.
No Alice markings. Picks up one of the shotguns. Loads up a drum magazine with all 400 shells and blows the fucking blows the baseboards off the place and then starts blowing up the floorboards. Do I find anything?
It's very loud when you do that.
Our ears are ringing so hard.
Deduct, 50 rounds and everything's destroyed.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
Shotguns do too have drum magazines.
Some do.
If you had like a riot shotgun that had a drum mag, yes, but not these shotguns. These are typical pump action shotguns.
This is a 12-gauge shotgun.
He didn't specify.
It says
he just said Mossberg with the serial number filed.
He said Mossberg 210. That's very
son of a bitch.
So I'll Axel only has a 10 in history. He's going to roll on this table, see if he can vaguely figure out how old this thing is or anything like that.
We're going to take it to the antique dealer, right?
I don't know if we need to take it with us. We can definitely take pictures of it and, like, take it with us to talk to the antique dealer about it. Well, I don't know. Would there be any problem? Is there any reason we can't take the table? We have a van.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take it with us.
I mean, it's in pieces now, but, you know, you can load it up.
Oh, that's
pieces.
Right.
Well, if he's worth his salt, he can put it back together as a professional antique restoration.
Because everyone knows that's what antique dealers do. I'm still going to roll that history just and try.
Go for it.
Let's see if maybe get lucky. No, but 25 over 10.
Yep. Seems old.
Seems old stuff. Did we roll anything medical on the body? Or did any rolls?
Alice did last time, if I remember correctly. And, you know, like I said, this is getting up to 100 years old body. Not, you know, 80 at least. There's only so much you could try it again. I don't know. You didn't get anything specifically last time.
Did we search the body?
I think you did a medical check.
I don't see any rolls from Dace that are medical related.
Okay. Maybe he just did a search.
Oh, confused. Medicine or first aid if I want to do something medical specifically?
Yes.
This is out of Axel's wheelhouse 100%. He just he has some forensics. He could roll that, like maybe to like cause of death type stuff, or maybe to use forensics to determine when this thing was dug up or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. So I'll roll that and you roll something medical-ish.
I'll do medicine. I really want to do first aid, but that just doesn't make any sense.
31.
Check for a pulse.
30.
Have you checked for a pulse yet? forensic.
I think I can bring it back.
I think I can do it.
And I got a failure on medicine.
It was, you know, there, like you said, forensics. Like I said before, there's still dirt on it. You know, okay. You opened it. Dust went everywhere. Medicine. He's dead, for sure.
I just want to cover all of our bases and do a search and see if there's, like, keys in his pockets or some shit. Maybe he's got a sweet vet we could take a cruise in. Success.
Of the body?
65 under 80. Search in the body. Specifically for belongings.
Okay. You can pretty much guarantee...
Cram a forearm up his anal cavity like a Thanksgiving turkey.
You can very you can tell for certain that there's nothing on him. Old, you know, he's in a nice in a nice little suit. Old, dirty now.
Oh, I forgot this is a kid. That's really dark what I just said then. Okay. Moving on, I feel like we can move on.
We can move on. Okay, well, we can take the table. We're going to take the weapons. We're going to take the table, and we're definitely taking this coffin with us. We have the photos and stuff. We need to... Where do you want to go first?
Hey, Alice. All right, so we got some good leads. I mean, we could go look up the history of this house, who's owned it, and who's died. Get a little more info on that. Do your basic kind of record search. We could head over to talk to Elizabeth Turner, this antique dealer. I do want to talk to Brian on the way out.
Okay. What time is it?
It is early afternoon.
Okay, it's 1 p.m., I suppose-ish.
The antique dealer is in a neighboring city? How far away is this?
She's in this town. Let me double check. But them. Yes,
no, that was that was the parapsychologist.
Yarrow, Emil is in member.
Do you think we have time to go to the antique dealer and also go to City Hall to investigate the families?
Let's hit up City Hall first. It's Friday, so they'll be closed tomorrow.
Damn bureaucrats are gonna be leaving the office early anyway. They always do it on Fridays.
I know, can't get anything done. Like, this is the only time I could get off work. I had to be here.
Should we bring the gasoline or just leave it here for
Well, they're all empty. For later? The cans are all empty.
Okay.
We can... We'll, you know what? Hell, we'll take the cans, too.
Hey, a free jerry can is a free jerry can.
Jerry can. Good. Good use. Don't hear that one often. Okay.
Also, and one thing that was in there was... was actually a camera, like with a telephoto lens, like a so we're gonna snag that too.
Nikon something or other.
The last thing Axel's gonna say as he's leaving, he's gonna look at these shovels. He's like, "Let's take these shovels too.
These shovels are brand new.
Like, are these shovels are brand new? Like, they have not been used.
Seem to be brand new."
The shovels are brand new. This isn't what was used to dig up this coffin.
Maybe he was planning on digging up some more graves.
Yeah, with his buddy, whoever the hell that is. We need Summer on speed dial.
Yeah, we do. We talked about the possibility that Summer is the other agent, right?
Yeah.
Like, Summer is pulling some sketchy shit.
Bringing in someone else to clean up his mess.
Right.
Actually,
so
hold on. Axel, like, freezes kind of where he is.
Oh, your Axel sense is going off.
Yeah, my Axel senses here in the Axelverse. Okay, I'm spitballing here. What if he did bring us in to clean up his mess? Why not tell us? What if everyone who gets close to this fucking house gets this obsession? It gets under their skin. What if he's using us as like a sacrifice almost? He's using us because he doesn't want to get too close.
I guess it begs the question of why he was not lured in by the house if he has had contact already. Or is he contaminated? Is he bent to the wheel of the house? Whatever that may be.
Maybe it's under his skin. Maybe that's why he... Maybe this is his form of obsession?
Could be. I'll tell you what. If that is the case, if he were in his right mind, he would have concealed the fact that there are two beds in here. That is automatically suspicious.
Yeah.
He was bringing us in.
Let's load the stuff up. We got our table. We got our shotguns. We got our
shovels. You get the table, the shotguns, and I'll get the dead kid.
All right, we got the dead kid. Throw a blank like a blanket over it or something. That's back here.
Yeah, maybe we can stop and get some mothballs.
Yeah, something like that. Something like we'll get some of those little air fresheners shaped like trees. Throw it in the party wagon.
Yeah. That would be great.
Okay, and let's do that. Let me shout at Brian on the way out here.
Cool. You load up not everything, but I mean that's a lot of shit. So your van's kind of packed, I would think, at this point.
Yeah.
You got a table, some gasoline.
The big thing I'm worried about, and one of the reasons why I wanted to just pay Brian. Because the last thing we want is to strong-arm Brian and then him to go complaining to the FBI office in Trenton and get the actual fucking FBI on our ass. So
we could just kill him.
You're right. We could just murder him and his wife? Question mark? We could just kill them and it'd be great. I think we'd all agree more bodies simplifies the issue massively. We've already got shovels and lime. We're good to go.
And biohazard containers.
And enough ammo.
But like...
Presumably.
But also, I don't want him rooting around in this storage unit, but now that we've taken the important stuff out, it won't really matter.
Is there anything incriminating still in there? I don't think we really have to worry about it.
I mean, it's got... I'd say the worst thing in there right now are some biohazard containers and two bags of quicklime.
and a 100-year-old dead boy's coffin with him in it.
No, well, we're taking that. We're taking that. Well, what we're leaving in there is basically... We want to take all the fake IDs. All we're really leaving in there is a bunch of... We're taking the photos. All we're really leaving in there is a sofa bed, some wrapped up mattresses that now have holes cut in them. So the most incriminating, the weirdest thing in there are some bags of quicklime, but there are legitimate uses for quicklime. So if Brian Miglo looks in there, he's not going to find anything terribly interesting.
Should we leave a booby trap? Should we
like a claymore?
Rig up one of the shotguns. Like a claymore?
No, I think that's excessive.
Shotgun trap.
Yeah. Being successful.
Exactly.
All right, let's.
Except for it just shoots all 400 rounds continuously when you
out of the drum mag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're on our way out. Axel's gonna just knock on the door.
Right. It's been. I would say probably takes y'all what 45 minutes to load up all that crap.
Yeah, to kind of look at it and talk. Yeah. So you pull up.
You come in the little, trailer outside the raggedy gate that has all these storage units.
Yep.
You say, find everything you need.
It all looked pretty clean, honestly. I suppose we're just going to have to look elsewhere for our man here. Get some pretty pedestrian stuff. Hey, can I look at that sign-in sheet again real quick?
He's got his feet up counting the money you sent. He's like, sure. Where's that sheet again?
Okay.
And she...
So is it... So Felix Green, are these all the same handwriting? Or are there multiple Felix Greens here?
It is... Doesn't go back very far,
How far back?
They all... I'll say, probably like 3 months.
Okay.
And... there's been 3 sign-ins, all Felix Green.
Okay, and
same handwriting seems to be.
He will ask to his like, Mr. Miglia, I have two questions for you about the storage unit, about who was using it. Was it? And he'll ask the woman as well. What's her name? Margaret? Or did I make that up?
What was her name?
It might not be important. She might not be that interesting of an NPC.
I thought it was Lucy or something like that.
Sure, Lucy.
Listen, Lucy, Brian, either of you guys ever see anyone come in here with Arthur Dunnelly? Perhaps a man who looks, and I will describe Mr. Summers. Ever see anyone like that?
And because we have a picture of Mr. Summers here, and I, we met him, so he'll describe Mr. Summers.
Lucy will say, it's every time I've been here, it's all only been Arthur. As far as I can tell,
no one else.
If you really want me to, I can look up, I can ask the other employees, but every time I've been here, it's only been Arthur.
I would like you to ask the other employees, ma'am. And he'll kind of lean forward and,
so the badge is kind of closest,
it would really help out the Bureau of Investigations. And after all, at this point, I mean, I'm basically a paying customer.
The camera zooms over Axel's shoulder to Alice holding both Mossbergs, pointed straight at Lucy.
That would be handy.
All right, roll bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy? Okay.
Or, right. I mean, or persuade, something.
Persuade?
Like that.
I'll do a persuade. Let's see here. 71 over 70. Should I push it?
It's lunch break.
If you do push it, what are we going to gain? The best possible thing is vague confirmation that yes, there was somebody else. Is there another way we could confirm this?
There's no cameras. I don't think going straight at Summers is a good way to do it. Right now, this is the, in my opinion, this is the best way.
Okay, push it.
All right.
Push it good.
All right, I'm going to roll a d4. I'm going to burn some willpower. One willpower.
Nice.
I'm down to 13 willpower. Still got plenty to go. And then I'm going to roll the roll again to persuade. And if it doesn't go well, it goes extra poorly. So, you know, I would hate to have to, you know, get some agents over at those people's houses, you know, and really mess with everyone's day.
All right, let's see.
Success. Seven.
He got the good pushy.
7 under 70. Ron, it would really do me a favor. It would really be a favor to the Bureau.
Lucy, oblige him. Spits his dip out. Okay. She's like, gets the book she handed you. You know, she can barely make it back to the back office. You overhear a call, total of 3 employees. She comes back. She's like, they confirm it's only been Arthur here.
Damn it.
And I got their word, so.
Okay. I appreciate it, ma'am. One last thing, Mr. Miglia. $1,200. That seems like a lot. Old Darthur Dunley's only been dead for 2 weeks. How long has he not been paying for this unit?
It's been quite a while. You know, he's a local, so I give him the benefit of a doubt, but been several, maybe half a year, probably.
All right. And I'm going to do a quick human on this guy. And you mean to tell me that in half a year of not getting paid, you haven't gone inside that unit one time? So I'm going to roll a human on this guy. Because I want to know. Because that doesn't sound right to me. It sounds to me like, that seems like a long time. 28 under 60.
I haven't been in it. Was there something interesting in there or something?
Well, there was an absence of anything interesting. So I was just curious.
Oh, again, you seem to think he genuinely hasn't been
okay
in the storage unit.
All right, Mr. Miglia, Lucy, thank you so much for your help. We'll probably send some guys later to round up the rest of what Arthur had in there. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Best of luck with the investigation.
Thank you. He'll turn around to Alice with the shotguns at the window and do like a cut it out movement over his neck. Like,
Alice puts the shotguns down and then picks up the mummified kid and waves goodbye with his little hand.
His little hand. He comes out, gets in the van. He's like, "No dice."
Well, just because nobody is with Arthur here doesn't mean that he didn't have a partner. All we can do is keep investigating. To City Hall?
Let's do it. See if we can find some records. You good at, well, I don't know. We'll just have to see what skills we'll use.
I was just wondering if I'm any good at reading. I'm not sure. Let me see.
I'm also wondering about how good I am at reading.
You good at looking up things in alphabetical order.
Well, we need, if nothing else, or maybe, you know, look online, maybe call the local newspaper. Let's just go over to City Hall, see if we can find some death records, or I want to see who owned this house, who's not on this little hit list. That's what I'm most interested in.
The survivors. That's what we have to find.
All right. That's what we do. We go to the,
All right. You kind of go back to the center of town. It's near, you know, like it was on the basically the same government property, city property that you had the meeting with Summers.
Right.
But it's basically the county seat is what the manual calls. It's not necessarily like city.
The county office. Sort, yeah.
Yeah. Let me get, and you walk in there, and people are kind of directing you towards where you would go in the building to find some, like, records
yeah.
on actual properties, you know, parking tickets, crap like that. Let me get to trying to find where this is.
Do you think Alice and Axel know that the module that they're in is called Music from a Dark Room?
Probably not. I think we just know it as Operation Iago.
You kind of walk up to this clerk that's over this kind of area, the parking mm-hmm. tickets, property information, stuff like that. And he's kind of a younger dude, looks sort of hippie-ish, and he sees you guys walk up, and he's like, starts like spraying like some incense. He's like, he's, what's up, guys?
Is he smoking pot in this building?
Okay. He's, what's up, dudes? How can I help you?
Axel kind of looks at Alice and raises an eyebrow.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing today? We need access to some files regarding the Spooner House, 1206 Spooner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, where can we find those? Can you help us out?
Uh-huh. Yeah, files. I got some on my desk. And he's like, are you talking about 1206 Spooner Ave?
That is the one.
That's right.
Dude, place is sick creepy. Yeah, let's go.
What do the locals say? We're with the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
Shit.
That spells FBI.
That's right.
They don't go there to smoke or hang out. Kids don't do anything weird over there. We try to stay away from it.
How old's this guy?
What's your name?
He seems to be Anthony Freeman, sir.
Anthony. Tony, is it? Can I call you Tony?
Yeah, you can call me whatever you want, man. Let's it's this way. And he's like, here's where he brings you back to.
So Spoon 1206 Spooner, is it a good place, good quiet place to get some alone time with you and your bros? Maybe not you specifically. You seem like an upstanding individual who would never get involved in, you know, illegal narcotics or anything like that. Have you heard anything?
I've never owned a pet or anything like that, sir. I've never been in the spot, to be honest. It's just, it's obviously the deaths and creepy shit like that.
Yeah, what have you heard, though? Because, I know you're obviously a well-adjusted and totally mentally
present
citizen.
Are you trying to threaten him? Are you intimidation?
No, I think
it sounds like intimidation.
I don't know if I want to make a roll. I think I'm just like...
You know, that's... So, well, you know, like, just what's the local scuttlebutt on 1206? Just that it's creepy?
Someone killed himself.
That's right.
Yeah, weird. This is where all the files are. Leave you guys to it. I'll see you later.
Whoa, 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 Tony.
Eyes are, like, super fucking red.
Tony, I know you've got some really important shit to get to on a Friday afternoon. We would hate to hold you up. We might be here for hours if we do this alone. And I'd hate to have you to be here with us that entire time. So why don't you help us?
Bro, it sounds like you know the rules of DG or something. I'll help you out, man, but I really don't want to. Maybe you could roll something.
Oh, I love it when Brad talks in his actual voice. It's good to hear for once.
What are we thinking for that?
Are you intimidating him, persuading him?
You know, intimidate's not a skill in this game, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
not bad.
It's not a skill. So this probably would just fall under persuade.
Seems pretty straightforward, yeah.
Okay. Try another persuade here. 28 under 60.
Or 54 under 70.
Wait. Oh, yeah, sorry. 54 under 70. Yeah.
Why don't you help us out here, Tony?
Sure, man. Anything for the United States of America. Who would you like me to look for?
Do we think this guy's like at all competent, as blazed
well,
as he is?
We can roll as well, I think, alongside him. Like, maybe he can just give us a bonus. I think. Well, I don't know. Like, can we just go down the list? Can we start at the oldest one? Can we start at Wheeler and just work our way down, or can we just look up?
You know, Tony, I would really love. Or Alice, what do you think? We thinking just property records of everyone who's owned the place?
Well, specifically, the Kreese family.
Yeah. We're looking for, it'd be nice if we just had a list of everyone who had ever owned this property, and then specifically, might want to look into this, this particular family here. What are they called? I believe it was George and Margaret Kreese. Looks like they owned the place between 1956 and 1960.
Here's an idea. What about obituaries of all the deceased? Because in the obituaries, they usually say survived by or whatever that was.
Nice, word. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you handle that, Tony? Can you help us?
That was a lot, man.
You're right. I should be writing this down.
Kreese, yeah. I'll look him up and feel free to have... you can look through anything you want here, man. This should be all the records. But I'll get right on that, sir. Agent. Sir.
Hey, Tony, did you drive here? By chance?
Yeah.
Hey, where are your keys?
Why
don't you let me hold on to those while you're doing this work? I'd hate for you to to leave.
Through. Actually, I forgot my car. I walked. I don't own a car. I
forgot my car.
All right. All right, Tony. I know where you live. Do this work.
sure, man.
Yeah.
Okay, he goes off.
All right, so what do we need to roll to look at stuff? What are you thinking for that?
Sounds like a good old-fashioned search, right?
History of bureaucracy at negative 20. So here's how it's going to work. He's going to look for Kreese, but you can also look for someone else simultaneously. And okay. Along with this, it sounds like you also want to just reaffirm this list that you got from your connections at the CIA, that this is the full extent of the list.
We have to roll a negative 20?
Yes.
Do we have to pick out one family at a time?
Yes.
Christ.
And each one will take 2 hours. For
fucking
ever. And each one takes two hours.
Yeah.
All right. My bureaucracy is 30.
Mine is 40. Our chances are not good.
They're not good. All right. So
I'm going to go use the restroom real quick. Y'all roll.
Let's talk about it. All right. Yeah. So we just need to. So who do we think is most important here then?
My money's on Kreese right now, unless we can think of something else.
How about you do Kreese and I'll do Wheeler? So I'm going to go back.
Is Wheeler the first?
That's the very first one.
Yeah.
The other important ones I have right now, I have Wheeler, Kreese, Tur, Falcone, and Izari. And the only reason I have Falcone is because that's the one that, according to Arthur Donnelly's notes, like started him investigating this.
Okay.
That was in 2014, so that's in the last 3 years. And then we know, so one of the things I had on the murder board was this connection between Arthur and Andrea Falcone is unknown. But there's some connection there, because why would he get involved? And then we know that he had some interaction with Yamila Isari, who was the last person to own the place. But those are most recent. I feel like those are going to be the easiest to find out about, because they were alive recently. So I'm thinking Wheeler and Kreese.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. Well, let's just see what we get from those. I'm like scheming ways we could intimidate the kid into letting us stay like after hours to do more searches. But
well, if it's like 1 o'clock, we have room to do. We have time to do two.
Probably
searches.
Like two. Actually, before, probably like 2:30 ish. Now,
that would then we wouldn't get to go to the antique dealer.
We can always
today,
do the antique dealer tomorrow.
Doesn't really matter.
Or we could show
if
up.
It's open on Saturdays.
Well, if it's a local place, if it's a local cell phone place, she's probably open on Saturday. Or we could probably go by her house or just call her. We have her contact, and we could say, "Hey, we got your info from." You know, we're interested in Arthur Dunnelly. You know, we might just be able to.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. let's do some bureaucracies. Try to dig through some paperwork.
Let's do it.
You're gonna do Kreese, I'm gonna do Wheeler?
Yeah.
Okay. Bureaucracy at a -20. That gives me a 10% chance.
I've got a 20% chance.
Alright.
Let's go.
Send it. Failure for both of us.
Yeah. For both of us.
Alright.
Man, that is so... I got a 24.
I know, close.
If I hadn't had that -20, it would have been...
Okay. Okay, so... But in that time, does Tony come back with something?
Right. You guys obviously can't really discern anything or read outside of what you already know. You know, you find same thing that, you know, there was deaths there. Seem to be the same thing that's on the sheet that you got from your contact at CIA. All right,
nothing.
But no more specifics. Someone roll a luck.
A luck roll? I'll do it. D100, we're looking at 50 and below. 73. Yep.
God
damn it.
Yep. It's this place is a mess. It's old. The computers are old, a little bit, you know.
You mean to tell me Tony's not doing good work here?
Right. You can see the type of workers they got at this spot.
Yeah.
Tony comes back. He says, agent, sir, I got all the information, sir, on the Kreese family. And ma'am.
All right. Let's see what you got.
Good work, Tony.
Does he have info?
He finds out, this is, you know, he gives you all the information he can find, and this is basically what he finds.
Are you dropping it into...
Are you about to post a handout?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Sorry, I'm reading through this to make sure there's no secret shit.
Show me what you got.
Here.
I'm wondering what the failed luck roll, or if he'd passed the luck roll, if he would have found something else.
Yeah, me too. Or was the luck roll, like, to determine who he was investigating?
Well, I think we had told him Kreese, didn't we?
Did we?
Okay. It's too late now.
Yeah, yeah, we told him. You told him Kreese. Sorry. This is not working well. I'll just read it. George and Margaret Kreese were locals who moved into the Wheeler house following the death of Isabel Wheeler in 1956.
Isabel Wheeler is who died.
Yeah, the first owner.
Okay.
Well,
not her husband, her.
You don't know. Following, well, you do know that she has a death. Yeah.
Okay.
They set about updating the house, adding amenities like a water heater, a modern refrigerator, a gas range, and improved wiring. By 1957, the Creases' friends noticed a change in the couple. Margaret had become rude and pushy, completely unlike her previous self. George seemed frightened and rarely ventured out except to go to work, and until he renewed his interest in the church. Then he attended church at all hours. Margaret spent an exorbitant sum in 1957 to restore huge wall mirrors in the master bedroom. When they are finished, the house was photographed for a local trade magazine. On 12th of January 1966, Rebecca Turer discovered her son, On 12th of October 1960, George Creese drove to a sporting goods shop, brought a double barrel shotgun and a box of 20 shells, drove home, and shot his wife and then himself.
That's so romantic.
Margaret had been shot in front of the mirror in the master bedroom, and most of her head was embedded into the broken glass. George set fire to the house before shooting himself, but a neighbor extinguished the fire before it could spread. The community was devastated by the killing, and few knew precisely how to react. Public reaction varied between pretending it didn't happen to basically covering up the facts.
Okay.
So that begs the question, I guess, who is the neighbor that tried to put out the house?
Do we have anything on that, Tony?
Man, that's all I could find. You look through it, and it's like it just local. You know what the records show is that a neighbor put it out.
Do you think it's worth hunting down the trade magazine with the pictures of the house in it?
We don't have those. We don't have those pictures.
There's definitely like a local newspaper. They have, sometimes they have even better, reports than us. You can see it's kind of in a shitty state over here, man.
Yeah, it's, whoever's working here on your days off is really letting you down, Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah. okay. Well, we'll keep in mind the newspaper.
Okay, this is interesting. So, and I'm gonna make some notes on the board. George and Margaret.
What that document that Tony just found? What
I'm about
was,
to
is that like a news?
It's just no, it's not. There's a newspaper. And the town that you could go see as well if you wanted to look up, but this is just like pictured as just like a bunch of files that you've kind of put together.
Okay. You know? Okay. Just a bunch of stuff. Okay. So both of them got weird. Both had personality changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the most interesting thing is. These mirrors, like, that is not mentioned on accident.
No, definitely not. That made me...
Mirrors. Whole wall mirrors? Like...
Yeah. Like, is this some night floor shit?
Yeah, said that they added a full set of wall mirrors.
And so
the master bedroom.
He did that on 12 October 1960.
Well, the other confusing thing is Arthur mentioned that Creese tried to burn the house down, but it didn't work.
Right.
But it didn't not work. The neighbor put the fire out.
All right, I added...
So is that like a red herring?
I added that entire couple paragraphs to Roll 20.
Okay.
I don't even know how to connect this to anything yet, besides just connecting it to the house.
I think that's the best connection at the moment.
Okay.
Well, should we continue searching, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, let's continue searching, and then let's call this episode. I mean, yes.
Okay.
All right.
You'll want to search another name in the house, and I mean, on these records.
All right, so we've got some Kreese stuff. There might be something else for Kreese. I don't know. Do we want to put Tony back on Kreese and see if we can pull something else, or do we want to try to get a wider view?
What are we thinking, Alice?
Wider view, I think. I think maybe get Tony to investigate Wheeler.
Okay.
And then let's you and I investigate. What are the other two that you thought were most important?
I mean, Ture or Ture, for sure. And then Falcone and Isari. But again, they're both alive, more recent. Might be able to find more info on them. I'm just interested. For instance, what about, look at this list here. Thomas and Imogen Greenlee and family. Two dead.
Greenlee.
So that means there must be at least one survivor.
Yeah.
Even with Jason and Janine, one dead.
And it's possible that Michael Wheeler is still alive.
Possible. What do we want to put Tony on? Put Tony on Wheeler?
Wheeler or Tour? Which do you think?
Let's put him on Tour. And then you and me, why don't you and me both do Wheeler?
Yeah. Increase our odds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony!
Alright. I feel like this is... I'm just going by the mail. This is going to put y'all over the working hours, so do another persuade on Tony. He's like, man, I'm not really supposed to stay here after 5, and I really got to go home since I forgot my car there.
Your medicine. You forgot your medicine at home. You got to get your medicine, right?
Whatever you say, sir.
You're right. It is whatever I say. And I got a fucking failure. 78 over 70.
Do I want to push it? Do we want to push and try to make him stay here? He seems better at this than us.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, let's push it.
All right. I'm going to push it. I'm going to burn one more willpower. Keep rolling low, nice. Low on the willpower.
Lucky.
Lucky.
Hey, Tony, listen. What's that funny smell? My FBI senses are tingling. I'm wondering if there's anything else I need to look into around here. You know what I'm saying?
Sir, I just want to say,
be great if we had your help.
26 over 70.
I'll do anything, sir. I don't smell anything, but, I don't want to...
Wheeler, I see, Tony, go find Wheeler. Go find Wheeler, boy. Yeah.
And then he like goes on all fours and starts running away.
There he goes. Sorry.
All right. And y'all can do the same thing for some other names.
At a negative 20 again?
Yeah.
All right. We're doing Tour?
I thought he was doing Tour.
No, we're doing Wheeler.
Oh, we're doing Wheeler. Okay, he's doing Tour. We're doing Wheeler. Okay.
I'll say if y'all both want to look for the same name, you can negate... 25 or 20.
Right.
So that we can both negate it?
No, you can do one. Y'all decide who wants to do it and just negate the 20 penalty, 20% penalty.
That would take me to a 30.
That would take me to a 40, which makes sense mathematically. Which odds?
I think it's technically a little better for us both to check at a 10 plus 20.
And still,
I think.
Wait, where's the plus
20? No, you're right. It'd be better if you checked at a 40, at your full 40.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you go ahead and check. Mark your failures, by the way.
What was that?
Jesus.
That's a fumble.
Oh my god. 100.
That's a 100.
That really worked out in our favor.
Oh god.
God.
I'm just
damn.
I'm just gonna have a smoke real quick. Uh oh.
We really fuck up with Wheeler or Tyr or whoever the fuck we're looking at. Oh god.
As you're looking through the files for Isbell and Michael Wheeler, you find find some records on the Tura family, but who rolled that?
I did. Alice did.
Punish him.
Alice trips, and all the files for the Tura family go in the shredder.
What the hell?
What a hell of a fumble, Davis.
Who put this giant hopper here right by the fucking shredder? It's like, it's just asking for papers to fall into it.
No, you find the Tura family, which you're also looking for, and but it falls, you know, you're clumsy, you spill some coffee on it, half of it goes over here, it's already a messy room, and you know, anything usable from the Tura family is, like, misplaced.
Ah, damn it. Oh, fuck.
God, and you find nothing on the Wheelers.
My bad, Axel. I think it was a second-hand contact high, maybe? I'm feeling a little bit lightheaded.
You're right, let's take him in.
Yeah. you know, Anthony comes back. He's like, sorry, man, I really did all I could. I could not find anything on the Tura family. Honest,
Anthony.
Honest, sir.
Anthony, he's going to put a hand on Anthony's shoulder. Just like, Tony,
we'll see you on Monday, okay? Bright and early, you and me, Axel and Tony, 100 years till the end of time.
Okay.
You working Monday? Yeah, you are.
Yeah, sure.
See you then, bud.
See ya. Runs out.
All right, that's probably a good place for us to stop.
All right.
On that rousing success.
Some bad luck.
Yeah, that is what it is.
But you do find some interesting, I guess we would call it gossip.
Yeah.
On one of the families.
Well, and even maybe from Tony, maybe the place is, you know, the place has a history. The locals know about it. It might be a place where even locals, like, might be kind of like a local, not a local dive, but like a spot, you know, for people to go and break into. The place has been, had a lot of murders in it, you know?
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
It's like some fucked up make-out point.
Yeah, where there's been multiple suicides. It's very romantic.
Really sets the mood.
Yeah.
All right.
Danger sometimes is an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. It was awesome.
Yeah, Brad.
Back at you. Good sesh.
Every time, yeah. Man. Very good.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. It was fun for me as well.
Yeah. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a good rating wherever you're listening. Wherever you're listening, whether it's Apple or Spotify or whatever, or even YouTube Music. Tell a friend. Tell a friend about us. You want to get the episodes a week early. You want to get access to Sandy Checks and stuff like that. Some of our side stuff. Come on to Patreon. Just $3. It really helps us out. But Brad, killing it.
Same to y'all. It was a fun sesh.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. I guess, are we going to keep going for the ones watching live?
Yeah. Yeah. For those watching live, we'll be back here in a bit. We're going to take a quick break. For everyone else. Yeah.
All together. Stay safe.
And stay sane.
Later.
Okay.